Matthew 12, verse 33. We're talking about the teachings of Christ. This one, I keep telling you guys I'm going to put my Bible up there, but I haven't done it yet, so I'll get there eventually. But Matthew 12, verse 33, we're going to have two different translations, which I don't think I told Christian in the back. Can you give Christian in the back an applause for doing that? Yeah, she's awesome. About what translation? And I've been reading out of the NLT this year. How many of you guys are doing the Bible plan with us or doing a Bible plan? Yeah, me too. And this year I'm doing NLT, and so I've been taking my note to my Bible, and I want you guys to know something first and foremost. If you fall behind on the Bible plan, don't beat yourself up. Just do the day up. Don't feel like you have to, whatever. But I hope you guys are on the Bible plan or a Bible plan of some sort. But I'm reading the NLT, so we're going to Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Jesus is talking to a bunch of people, and this is what he says, because he's kind of talking to these Pharisees who are knocking them, roasting them, right? And he says, a tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. You brood? Okay, I guess that's right. You brood of snakes. How could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say, or your translation might say, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Verse 35, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. Hot dog. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. If you have your Bibles, I just want you real fast. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 3. Verse 8 through 10, it's going to come up on the screen. I'm going to read it from the screen. Matthew chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. It says, therefore, bear fruit. Oh, wait, let me pause. This is John the Baptist. He's speaking right now to all the Pharisees and people. He says, therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So John the Baptist kind of spoke the same message. He's like, hey, listen, if you're not bearing good fruit, he's talking to the Pharisees. He's like telling them, like, you guys are a brood of vipers. You guys are crazy people. He goes, man, if you guys don't bear good fruit, you're going to be cut down, thrown into fire. Now, we've talked about this. We've talked about the importance on a Sunday. We talked about the importance of bearing fruit. But I got one more verse I want you to go to. Matthew chapter 7. It's coming up on the screen. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 through 20. And this is what it says. It says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from the thorn bushes or figs from the thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruits. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruits. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. All right. Jesus isn't joking. He likes to see fruit. Like, this is a serious topic. Like this, and I don't have to go too deep in this because, if you've been here on Sundays, we preached this not too long ago. But man, the fruit of a person's life, which is the inward dwelling being exposed and outward activity, he says, dude, this is serious. I mean, this is so serious. He says, what we just read, man, you'll be cast into the fire. John says, man, if God doesn't get good fruit from you, because your fruit is an indicator of your indwelling part, he says, man, if you don't get good fruit, the fire is the option. Now, how many of you guys don't want to go to hell? Raise your hand. It's okay. Yeah, I don't either. Okay. There's less hands than I expected. Yeah, okay. All right, wow. And kind of crazy, actually. Now, I don't either. So this is a heavy thing. And he says this. It's kind of cool. He kind of gives us insight. And he says, listen, you'll be able to know whether or not people are really living this thing by what comes out of them, by what's produced out of them. You know, because how many of you guys know there's a lot of people who say they believe in God? How many of you guys know that, right? How many of you guys know there's a lot of people who say, I believe that Jesus is the Messiah? There's a lot of people. But you can really know by their evidence of their livelihood. And this scripture in Matthew chapter 12, he says, you know, when I'm talking about fruit, what I'm talking about is your words, what you say. Now, I don't know about that one part. It says that you have to give an account on judgment day for idle words. How many of you guys have said idle things? How many of you guys have just said stupid things before? Yeah, me too. And he says, man, you're going to be held accountable by every single word. You're going to have to give an account on judgment day. Do you guys know how much I talk? It's going to be a long trial. It's going to be a really long trial for me. I don't know where Susanna must be in the mother's room, but man, she'll tell you. I'll come home from work and I just tell her the day, you know, minute by minute. I do like play by play. It's like, man, this scripture kind of freaks me out. And if you know me, I'll tell you, I love talking. I like talking more than probably eating, actually. I love talking. And this scripture, though, says, dude, your words are kind of a measuring point for where your heart's at. And on a personal level, that is a little bit difficult, because how many of you guys have said something you didn't mean? You guys ever do that before? And so I sometimes look at that and go, well, you know, I didn't mean that, or, you know, you guys have probably heard the saying that every joke has a little bit of truth to it. You guys ever heard that before? I like making jokes that are so outlandish that it can't be true. Like, I love making those kind of jokes. Like just like random wild jokes. Like, and so sometimes I read this and go, well, I mean, that can't be really the best measurement, because I don't know, I've faked it. How many of you guys have ever like lied? Right? Yeah, just a few of us. Okay, good for you guys. Yeah, for being honest. The rest of you are liars. Yeah, I've tricked people. And what's cool about this scripture is he's actually saying, man, just so you know, you could identify one another by what they talk about. You could find out whether or not the person next to you is like a really, like, you know, how many of you guys believe in Jesus? Everyone in here, I hope, is raising your hand, right? Everyone, yeah, right, we believe in Jesus. He says, but by what they talk about, you'll actually be able to find out whether or not they're rooted in me and they're from me and they're a good tree, or whether or not they're a bad tree. And he says that measurement is your words. Because it says, out of the abundance of your heart, or if you're in the NLT with me, whatever is in your heart, it actually determines what you say. So I usually kind of take this on a micro level, which I think there's some good point to do that. But I started thinking about what my favorite topics are. And I love conspiracy theories. I want to talk about the moon landing. Like, come on, you know? Like, I believe we land on the moon. Sort of, you know. I don't know why we haven't gone back, you know. You guys get where I'm going with this. Yeah, or I've looked at it. I know we've gone back. Yeah, but ignore those facts. Forget those other four trips. No, but, you know, I like talking about, like, I don't know, a movie. Don't you guys love talking about movies, especially a good movie? Like, I like talking about, like, I don't know, I really like to talk about a lot of things. Or maybe in a way you're like me, where I like to talk about the things that are worrying me. Or talk about the things that are on my mind all the time. And he says, you want to know what's inside somebody? What do they talk about? Who do they talk about? He says, this is how you're going to figure out what's inside their heart. And I actually love this, because you could use this in a typical way. I'm sorry, in a very applicable way. What are the people around me talking about? That reveals to me where they actually stand with the Lord. And how many of you guys know someone who's in love with Jesus? How many of you guys know, like, the real Christian? You guys know what I'm talking about? Like, the Christian, you're like, this guy's for real. What do they always talk about? I mean, they're always talking about Jesus. So much so that it's like, you know, do you talk about anything else, you know? Or the music they listen to and they sing, right? It's always going back to one, like the real, like, there's this lady, and I love this woman. Her name's Judy. Judy, I hope you're watching. I love Miss Judy. Judy Patasri and her husband, John. I don't think I've ever, she has a normal job. I don't know what it is, but she's smart. So it's a good job. I've never talked to her about anything except for Christ himself. That's all that comes out of her mouth. And you know what that tells me about my friend Judy? Either one, she's the trickiest person I've ever met. You know, she's just been fooling me from day one. Or two, I mean, that's all she ponders in her heart. You know how I know when I know someone who really prays a lot? It's because how they talk is different than people who just say they pray a lot. Like, I know people who pray a little bit, you know, they get a few, you know, maybe a minute or two in, or maybe they don't have like a dedicated time of prayer, so they kind of pray throughout the day. But then if I compare what they talk about with the person who prays, like, seriously, you know, there's this one guy, Raven Hill? Is that the guy? Do you guys know your old-time pastors? Okay. He said 4 hours every day he sits in prayer. And he says, and I have 4 hours of prayer, I get more accomplished than you do in your 8 hours of work at your job. 4 hours. But you know what Raven Hill talked about all the time? Same thing, what came out of his mouth. The goodness of God. In this scripture, the Lord says, I want you to know something. What you talk about is evidence of what you really actually put your heart to. And if you don't understand heart means the center of your life, your worldview. What matters most to you is going to come out of your mouth. Now, how many of you guys get a little freaked out by that when you start thinking about your friends who are believers, but they're full of complaints? Your friends who are believers, but they seem to always be bitter. That makes me start thinking, like, wait a minute. I want to talk to those guys and girls. Like, wait a minute. Time out. What are you setting the center of your life? But it's not just about knowing one another. I want you to scroll all the way to the bottom of your Bibles. Matthew 12, verse 46. It says, as Jesus was speaking to the crowd, his mother and brother stood outside asking to speak with him. Jesus, can we speak to you? And someone told Jesus, your mother and your brothers are standing outside and they want to speak to you. And Jesus asked, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Then he pointed to his disciples and said, look, these are my mother and brothers. Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. I want to reference this scripture. I want you to go to chapter 7, verse 21. Chapter 7, verse 21. Scariest verse I've ever read in my life. Oh, that's chapter 6. Chapter 6 is great too, by the way, but I'm going to chapter 7, verse 21. He says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me. You who break God's laws are those who work in iniquity. That scripture, have you guys ever had a nightmare about that scripture? Like, many will come to me that day saying, Lord, Lord, and they'll look at you and go, I don't know you. He'll look at you and say, I don't know you. I know those who do the will of my Father. I love how the NLT says it, those who actually do the will of my Father. Not just proclaim it, but actually do it. And so I want to kind of marry these two points really quick, because this first point was like, you want to know where your heart is? Figure out what you're talking about. And I know this to be true, that as believers, we know how to talk about Jesus. I mean, everyone in here. I could throw a scripture out and be like, you guys know the story of Joseph? And everyone in here is like, yes, Joseph, sold as a slave, coat of many colors, you know? They made a play about it somewhere, you know? It's like, we know it. Moses, right? You're like Prince of Egypt. I got it. Moses, I know who he is. And we know a ton of stuff. So much so that we do pretty good at talking about scriptures. In fact, we do so good that we could kind of put on a show if we wanted to. Like, I don't know about you, but I know when I get around like a Southern Christian, I don't know how to explain it. I could match their energy. I know how to play church. You know how to play church. Like, you know how to do this, where you could get in and you could talk the talk and you could walk the walk. And you know what we've kind of done? We've kind of gotten this, like, I don't know, we've gotten really comfy. We've kind of padded ourselves because we're able to do something. We're able to kind of fool everybody about what's in our heart by the way we talk when we want to turn it on. And so all of a sudden, you know, you and I, we could just, you know, we could be dealing with bitterness and unforgiveness, but we know the scriptures well enough, we know how to talk it well enough that we could be like, you know what, though, I know what the Lord says to do. And in public, amongst others, we kind of like cater to their judgment towards us. And we change our language. You guys ever done this before? And we know how they're looking at our words. And so what we do is we say, well, you know, I know the scriptures out of the abundance of the heart, and we understand this very well. People are perceiving us, and we have a social structure that we're trying to fit in. So I want to make sure I say the right words the right way so that they don't suspect anything about my heart. And so what we do is we're good, man. I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, even unbelievers are good at this. Like, where you could just, I mean, I've been on the street and I'll be ministering to people who, you know, they're not walking a righteous life. I mean, they're not just on drugs. They're doing bad things to get those drugs. And they could sit with me and they could talk all day about sounding like a good Christian. And I mean, I can't tell you guys how many stories I have of people quoting more scriptures than you. You know what I'm saying? Like, just knowing the word of God. And being able to take that first verse we read in 12, where it's like, man, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and taking that and going, well, let me just kind of twist this a little bit so that nobody can really see where my heart's at. And so then what we have is a bunch of, like, you know, Christians who are like stuck in immorality and stuck in all this sin, but they're so good at, you know, covering their tracks. The Lord is good all the time. Oh, the Lord, you know, whatever. I don't actually know what else to say. Quoting scriptures. I mean, I know for me, I was so stinking good, especially when I was younger, man. I would be dealing with any kind of sin, but be able to stand in front of youth kids and preach the gospel to them. I remember this one time, I was doubting the word of God of being the actual word of God. Like, you guys ever have that thought? This was written by men and men are imperfect. You guys ever have that thought before? And here I am, you know, 21 years old or 20 years old, and I'm struggling. And I'd read the Bible and go, I don't know, man, Paul's just a converted dude, you know. Peter, he's just a converted dude, but he had mistakes. And I'm like struggling with this, but what I would do is in my heart, in my inward being, I'm literally having arguments with God. I believed in God. I believe he created the heavens and the earth. I was pretty solidified that he is the creator and who he was. But I remember doubting the scriptures, but getting up on stage, as you know, there's only a few of us, but getting in front of people and then preaching the word. Do you see the problem here? We're really good at comforting ourselves by masking our hearts because we see this scripture and we know, well, you're not going to hear my conversations all the time. So if I talk right in front of you, I can make you think where my heart really is at. If I go down to that last verse, he says, and who does the will of my Father in heaven, my brother and my sister and mother? He says, these are my people, the people who make it their heart's desire to do my will. And there's that one scripture. It says, man, many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, did I not do this? And, you know, I cast out demons and prophesied and I did all these things. And he's saying, but I'll say to them, many, by the way, not just a few people, not like two. He says, many that day. And he says, I'll look at them. I'll say, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me. Depart from me, you who work in iniquity. Like you did all these great things in my name. You knew it so well. Like, you knew Christianity so stinking well. I mean, you even tapped into things that a lot of us in the church haven't tapped into, which is the authority part of the scriptures, understanding how authority works. You're casting out demons. So the scripture for a demon to be cast out, this is in chapter 11, I think, or maybe it's earlier in chapter 12. It says, for a demon to be cast out, that means the kingdom of God comes upon them. And you knew it so well. You knew everything you could know, man. You were able to, like, you know, you could share the talking here. Your theology was so on point. But I don't know you. Because you made it about what you knew and what you are able to accomplish. And that was never what I was after. In fact, he says something that really bothers me. He says, I know only those who do the will of my Father. Those are the ones that I know. The ones who say, man, this is it. This is the only thing I'm after. I'm after the will of the Father, which means, God, what do you want for my life above everything else? And we can find a lot of that in the Word. I mean, forgiving those who've sinned against us, praying for our enemies, right? Laying our life down for one another, bearing with one another. These are his commandments to us, right? And he says, man, these are the ones that I know. These are the ones that I know. So I'm kind of looking at the scripture. I'm going, okay. There's a bunch of people who believed that they knew who God was. They walked it out. They were doing, you know, they were doing the cool stuff, you know, the stuff that you want to do. Cast out demons, healing the sick, prophesying, doing many wonders in your name. He says, but I don't know you. And then I have this other scripture that says, man, out of the abundance of heart, that's what your mouth is really going to talk about. That's what's really going to come out. And I just want to kind of say this for a second. I don't care what you talk about in front of me or, you know, the whole fooling others. What are you most consumed about? What are you talking about all the time? Like, I want you to ponder that. Like you know, I've already gone through, like, hey, yeah, I know that we could get tricky. I know, like, I know liars. I've met them before many times. Like, I know that we could try to manipulate and trick and fool one another. But I want to know, you, examine your own words. What are you talking about most of the time? What is it that's coming off your lips? What worries and fears are constantly coming out of you? What areas of, oh, I just don't know how this is going to work. What are you saying? I'm not talking about in one conversation. I'm talking about if you were to take an account of everything you're talking about, what are you talking about? You know what my fear is? My fear is that you would stand on trial and it would be like, yeah, you would talk about God and right in the right crowds, but when it came to the heart of the matter, you were consumed with so many other things. I mean, you were talking about everything else. And, you know, if Jesus was the topic, that'd be a good topic. But, I mean, for the most part, you were talking about, you know, I don't know, politics. I don't know, you're talking about your love for hobbies. You're talking about your dreams and your visions. He's going, I'm looking for those who want the will of my Father. Who center the life on this. God, I'm not going to be worried about the future. That's what I was going to speak out of my mouth. I want to know, Father, what is it that you desire of me? I don't want to know about God. In fact, what freaks me out about that scripture we just read in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, is that they knew who he was, but the fear is he didn't know who they were. I've used this example, but I'll use it again. Michael Jordan. I love Michael Jordan. He's tight. I don't like him as much as I used to, but I think Michael Jordan's crazy. I used to know all the stats. I mean, like, seriously, I don't care what you think about LeBron James. He does not compare to Michael Jordan. He's the best. And I could sit and I could talk about his three-peat. I could talk to you about when his third championship, how he called up his kids. I could talk to you about his father. I could talk about how his mom was the one who got him the deal with Nike because she was so cool, man. I love everything about Michael Jordan. But what freaks me out is if Michael Jordan came into the room today, I would know, like, in a freakish way, kind of in a stalkerish way, I would know everything about this dude. He walked into the room. I could talk the talk all day, but he would have no idea who I was. He could walk into this room and he's not going to be like, Tommy of the Atlanta Dream Center. He's not going to do that. He's probably not even going to talk to me. I'm unknown to him. And my fear of this, not my fear, but I think maybe it is a fear, because I'm going to be honest with you, that scripture actually puts fear in my heart from the Lord. That he's not going back and forth saying, who could talk the most about me? He's not going around saying, who knows the most about me? He's saying, who made my will the center of their life? Who knew me? Like, who not just knew me, but desired what I desired? Who read these scriptures and said, okay, this is what you say, God, then this is what I'm going to do. Suffering makes me more like you. Though I was suffering. God, if forgiveness is what you call me to, I'm going to forgive. Oh, this is what, trust you. I'm going to trust you, God. That means I'm not going to let my mouth speak out all these stupid things about my worry. I trust you, God. You are my God. I'm going to praise. You know what's crazy? I'm not going to go there yet. Hang on. I'll get there in a second. He's going, I'm looking for those who do my will, who center their life on me. Those are the people I'm looking for. He says, those are the ones that I know. What if I told you get into heaven isn't about what you know about him, it's whether or not he knows about you. And that the whole Christian walk isn't about, hey, can I get the right knowledge and can I speak the right way in the right places? Will I be able to speak a sermon or be able to preach the right way? What if that wasn't what God was looking at? What if he was going, actually, no, I'm looking at the center of your life, your heart. I'm looking at the thing that is like your lifeline, the thing that everything else comes out of. And I'm going to be honest, in the church, and I don't really want to say that, but amongst many Christian circles, their heart is their greatest desires on this earth. And God is just a ticket to get their desires. And there's been a big move within the world about, you know, don't work unless it's what you love or whatever. And it's been kind of seeping into the church where it became this thing where it was like, you know what? If I'm not satisfied in my own heart, that kind of became our center. My satisfaction, if I'm not satisfied, God, and that might be in finances or that might be in my job, that might be in, you know, marriage or whatever. If I'm not satisfied, that's kind of become our whole desire. And I do counseling, and a lot of counseling comes down to this one thing. Man, I just wish God would show for my desires. And the thing that they talk about the most are these unattained desires inside their hearts. The thing that they ponder, the thing that they work towards the most. And there's these Christians who could talk about God and they sing the songs, you know, like, man, faithful you are, right? They're singing all these songs. And the Lord's looking and going, man, I see the center of your heart. I could tell by your words. I can see what you talk about. I know every word that you're speaking. I sit with you. I'm listening and I'm finding out I don't know you. Where are the people whose desire is, Father, I don't care what comes of my life as long as I'm doing what you've called me to do? Where are the people who are going, Jesus, I will, Jesus, for instance, in the garden, Father, I don't want to suffer. Forget about me. What do you want? That's all I want is what you want. He says, this is the call to Christianity. He says, you want to know who I know? Those who do my will. You want to know where you're at? Listen to what you talk about. Listen to what you talk about. Listen to what consumes you in your conversation. Listen to what conversations you're just itching to talk about. He says, man, you want to know where you're at? I want to tell you who I know. I know those who set their heart on my will, regardless. And hey, listen, that sounds gloomy in a sense, but I'm just going to tell you, he's looking for people who say, God, your way is way better than my way. And I just say it, but then say, so what way is your way? I'll go that way. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. And I want to tell you something. Because this gets me. I only got a few minutes, so I guess I'll say it. Did you see how stressed I just looked? This was really stressing me out to the face rub. His way to doesn't look like the rest of the world. His way does not look like the rest of the world. In fact, scripture, Paul says, you know, if this thing is not true, if this Christianity thing is not true, you should be the most pitied people on earth. As in, you fell for, you know, the greatest hoax of all time, and you sacrificed your flesh. You took weird routes in life, you know. I mean, for crying out loud, I banked on Christianity so much, I put my entire family is based here. He's like, you should be the most pitied people on earth because you were fooled. And I sometimes look at the church and I go, man, I don't think we'd be that pitied. Like, I don't know if his will is really our desire. It feels a little bit more like I want God added in as long as I'm satisfied. But as soon as I'm not satisfied, I don't think I want this. And we talked about this on Sunday. That Sunday sermon, I don't know if it got to you like it got to me. But man, on Sunday, I'm talking about, man, he could call you into suffering not for your sake. He could call you into suffering because he's trying to reach other people. That's how valuable the people around you are, that he would even use you as a vessel, wasting your life so that he might reach somebody else. I'm looking at that going, that's the will of God. I don't know. I'm still wrestling here. I want satisfaction. And what I mean by satisfaction is I want my desires to be satisfied. And my desires aren't necessarily, God, whatever you want. We kind of make a deal like, God, yeah, kind of hypothetically, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about God's will all the time. That's not what's coming out of my mouth. I'm talking about, you know, moon landings or whatever. I'm going, man, God, I want my conversations to be out of the abundance of my heart. I want the will of the Father. He says, do not worry. I will not worry. That should be the conversation of a believer. You want to know someone who's an actual believer? The conversation is, you have the right to be upset. The conversation is, you have an obligation to forgive. That's the tone in the talk of a believer. Oh, not, I understand your sin. Oh, my brother, run from your sin. That's how the believer talks. No, I am not okay with sexual immorality. Not, I understand. That's how a believer who says, the will of the Father is my heart's desire. That's how they speak. They're the ones who say, you know what? You believe in stones? But they don't say, oh, cool, you know? They say, man, I want to tell you right now, the desire of my heart is his will, and his will is that you don't perish. Lay down your idols. Come to him. Do you see the different kind of language for someone whose heart's desire is the will of the Father? There is no compromise. They go, this is the only thing. This is where my heart's settled. So my mouth speaks that way. Oh, I can't okay what's going on in this house. I got to speak up because my heart is set on something. Because I got to be a brother, a sister, a mother to Christ. I got to be known by him. This is my key. No, being known by him. If you make that your heart's desire, where you say, you know what, everything else, if I end up dead in a ditch, if I end up being poor, if I end up being rich, it doesn't matter to me. As long as when I get to that throne, he says, I know you. You did my will. You know what happens if you make that your heart's desire? You don't speak like the rest of the world. You don't talk like anybody else. All of a sudden, you can't shut up about his goodness. All of a sudden, you're talking to your brothers and sisters, and you're not trying to find solutions for them. You have the solution. Do you know the Father's will? He says that he will clothe you. Just seek first his kingdom. Let me push this. All of a sudden, you're not negotiating whether or not you need more time for us. You're saying the Father says, bear with one another. I got to bear with one another. I'm going to fellowship. I'm going to sow. I'm going to push in. I'm going to beat my flesh because I don't want to be disqualified. Man, out of your heart, your mouth is talking. What are you talking about? It doesn't matter how good you could talk to me. I want you to know I'm good at that too. You guys ever pick up accents on accident? You guys ever do that before? When I talk to Southerners, I start talking like a Southerner. When I talk to Latinos, I start talking like Latinos. So I do that, for real. I do. It's my California heritage, I guess. I don't know. I know how to match a room, but the Father's going, yeah, okay. You can't fool me, though. You might be able to fool the person around you, but I'm going to look at every single word. And by your words, you're going to be justified or you're going to be found guilty. And some of us are going to start doing this. This is what we do. When I read that scripture, I want to start fixing my words. But the Father's saying, it's not your words. That's not the problem. It's where your heart's at. That's the problem. And a lot of us go, well, maybe I'll just stop complaining. It's not you saying the complaints. The complaints are evidence that your heart's not set on His will. It's set somewhere else. Well, I'll just stop talking trash about someone. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. You know, that's not the point. The point is, out of your heart, you're talking trash on these people. You don't have the desire of my will in there. Get the desire of my will. Make it something. Well, how do I get the desire of His will? How do I do that? Let me just tell you. Number one, you do what all the scriptures tells you to do. Now, I love what it says in James. He says, weep and mourn and fast. Like, break yourself going, God, the desires of my heart, I hear what I'm saying, but the desires of my heart, I'm saying these things, God, all over. I need You. So many of us are trying to curate our Christian walk to the Father. He's saying, no, you need to break yourself. Like, when's the, like, well, okay, I'm past due, so forgive me. But like, when's the last time you decided, I'm going to fast until I break my flesh? So many of us are going, I'm going to fast until I get my way. But when's the last time you said, I'm going to fast until I break myself? Because my heart's desires has been on everything else but the will of the Father. I got to beat my flesh. When's the last time you prayed not to get what you wanted from the Father, but you prayed and said, God, I want to get my flesh off of me? I mean, when's the last time that you said, Father, I want Your will, but I hear the way I'm talking, so I'm going to lay here until my heart is aligned with You, whatever You want. You want me to forgive? I'll forgive. You want me to bear with one another? You want me to be generous? You want me to be kind? You want me to be someone who's nice to the enemy? You want me to love my neighbor? You want me to bless those who curse me? Father, here I am. I'm fasting until my desires are lined up with Your desires. I'm gonna starve my flesh until it's in submission to my spirit. Whatever You want, God. This is the mark of Christianity. Nothing else. Not your church attendance. Not how well you could quote scriptures. Not whether or not you could cast out demons and do wonders. The mark of a Christian is that they desire the will of the Father, and they do it. They actually do it. And you'll know them by the way they talk. The believer is not like the rest of the world. They sound different. The ones He knows do not sound like anybody else, for their hearts are set on something different. So, Father, I ask, first off, Lord, the scripture's crazy, that You only know those who do Your will, who say, God, if this is what You want, then I'm actually going to do it. And those people are the only ones who say, okay, whatever it takes, this is my focus. You promise eternity? Fine. That's what I'm going to go for then. I'm shooting for eternity. You're going to sit me at the judgment seat and you're going to judge me by every word? Okay, I'm not going to try to curate my words. I'm going to try to curate my heart. What do You want from me? Lord, I want your will. Father, I pray that as we read the Bible, as we've been going through Matthew, but God, as we're reading the Gospels and we're seeing what you command of us, Father, about forgiving and loving and, Father, even suffering for those who hate us. I love that you say, man, give up your cloak, walk 2 miles with them. Father, I pray, Jesus, that we would take that and go, that's my desire. Oh, that I would do the will of my Father. That God, we would know the word and we would apply it. For Father, you say someone who takes your teaching and builds their life on it is like a man who builds a house on the rock. All of life, the winds and the storms will not knock them down. So Father, we're praying right now, Jesus, let us take on the will of the Father. Let it be the center of our life. Let it be the thing, God, that we want more than anything, more than even the greatest desires, no matter how noble they are. Father, we say, but you know, it's all a waste if I don't do the will of my Father in heaven. And God, I pray that as our hearts are set towards that, that Father, we'd find ourselves speaking, not like everybody else, but Father, we would speak from an abundance of our hearts, a heart that's so set on the things of you, that Father, we speak differently than anybody else we know. For Father, this is your desire of us, that we would believe you from the innermost part and we would follow you. And if this thing's for real, that we would live in the way that reflects that. That every decision is, I stand before the throne. That every move is, I will stand before him one day. That God, our conviction would not be set on the temporal, but on the very word of you. So Father, we pray this in your Son's holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen.